They're doing what they can. And Father, we believe that you're going to do a great and a wonderful thing in the year that is before us, as you have in the year that is past. Take us, we pray thee, and use us where you have put us to represent this cause where it'll count. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.
Mr. Chairman, microphone 9. May I have the floor for a special privilege, sir, just for a couple of minutes? It deals with what has been going on here with the mission of the U.S.
It deals with what's been going on?
Yes, sir.
Well, Fred, let's hear what you have.
Gentlemen of the Assembly, I have a couple of statistics I would like to give you. In 1976, we had on the floor of the General Assembly 325 teaching elders. We had approximately 265 ruling elders. I happen to be a ruling elder. This represents on the floor of the General Assembly approximately 44% of the of ruling elders to teaching elders.
Wait just a second.
I'll bring the point. And in 1977, we had 367, which represents an awful lot of growth in these new ministers coming in, building these new churches that you have. And we had on the floor last year 247 ruling elders, which deteriorated the ruling elders on this floor to 40%. And I would like to say that as far as the growth of the churches, so that these men can have ruling elders appearing here on the floor in order to carry out the work of the General Assembly, and this deterioration goes on at the presbytery level. And I would like the Credentials Committee to make a report as to just how many teaching elders and how many ruling elders have attended this General Assembly before it adjourns, in order that we can adjudicate the fact that the ruling elders are really given a privilege on the floor and a chance to say something. And that I know for a fact within my own church that we have started about 3 or 4 churches, one in Stuart, one west of us, one north of us, and I'm outnumbered here on the floor about 4-1, and by teaching elders. And I feel that when churches send 2 ministers, and they're only allowed, according to the Book of Church Order, to send only 1 ruling elder, I think that something ought to be done by the Judicial Committee on that point, too. Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Viet, that was stretching the point a little bit, but I'm sure the Committee on General Assembly Operation will take notice of your concern. We are ready for the business of the committee, I believe. Mr. Chairman, are you ready for the business of the committee? Is the standing committee chairman... Chairman of the Committee on Commissioners, are you going to handle it? Mr. Heath, are you committed? All right. Mr. Heath, it's microphone number 4.
While they're getting ready, if I could have the Reverend Chuck Coe come forward and have a message for us.
Matt Heath, Jeff Coe, Secretary, Mr. Heath, moderator, fathers and brethren, let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the moving of the Holy Spirit as we have seen it in our church and the beautiful testimonies that have just been made and of the picture of your work through the PCA that we received since the beginning of this assembly. We pray, Lord, for the work not only in the farthest point of the world, but also the work in Samaria and the work in Judea. Put it upon our hearts as we, with our people across this land, see again the crucified Savior in terms of the great opportunity we have to obey the Great Commission here in the United States through the work of the organizing pastors and the work of the 5 in 5 campaign. Lord, if we are to do it, you must do it through us, or else we know that you will do it some other way. But grant us the privilege of doing it through us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The report of the Committee of Commissioners of the Mission to the United States, page 805, if you have. The responsibility of this committee. This committee received for consideration the minutes of the Permanent Committee on Mission to the United States, the report and supplemental report of the Committee on the MUS with recommendations, page 801 through 803, various revised Permanent Committee recommendations, the audit of the Mission to the United States Committee for the year ended December 31st, 1977, and overtures numbered 8, page 24. You need to know these pages numbers because it's awfully confusing to find these things. 8, page 24, 23, page 27, 34, page 30, 35, page 32. And discussion of the work covered. Your committee in making report on this work takes due note of the problems under which the MUS committee has labored this past year. Problems of tension, of changes, of challenge, and of opportunity. Its work has not been perfect, being in part human, but it has been work with a heart. And your committee wishes to thank and praise Almighty God for the devotion and courage with which the committee and its staff have met these challenges. We ask your patience and indulgence, both for the Permanent Committee and the Committee of Commissioners, as we seek to do the Lord's work through this report. The recommendations with explanation and grounds speak for themselves. Please note that the Permanent Committee recommendations on pages 801-4 have been revised by the Permanent Committee with exceptions of recommendations 2 and 6. In all recommendations except numbers 8 and 10, your committee is recommending revision to the Permanent Committee work. We have been asked to be thorough. We have tried to be to the limit of our all too little knowledge and experience. Roman numeral 3, recommendations of the Permanent Committee on the Permanent Committee minutes. 1, that the minutes of the Permanent Committee be approved with these exceptions, A through E. 3 sets of executive committee minutes do not show kind of meeting according to rules for assembly operations 8-12-3-8. B, 1 set of missed persons closing with prayer. Another shows no opening with prayer. Minutes of September 12, 1977 noted as approved in October 21st, 1977 minutes, but our committee not supplied with these minutes. Coordinator's report shows that it was made but not received as information or otherwise acted upon. E, no minutes reveal that the report of the Permanent Committee recommendations and supplemental report were ever approved by the Permanent Committee. Recommendations in regard to the work of the Mission to the United States. 1, that the Permanent Committee revised recommendation number 1, that's the one that's listed on page 802, to read as follows. That the 6th General Assembly authorized the MUS Committee to employ a coordinator. And then recommendation, and when you see this word recommendation, that means the recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners. And the vote here, we omitted it, was 13-0 in this case, and we see this throughout the report in parenthesis, the vote. That the Assembly approved the authorization of the MUS Committee to employ a coordinator with the proviso that he not begin work or move on the field until he is examined and approved by the General Assembly Theological Examining Committee. Grounds for this. This is to prevent any coordinator from going on the job prior to his being examined by the examining committee. Two, recommendation 13 to nothing. That recommendation two, as it is on page 802, be approved with the word require added at the end of the first line. This is merely for clarification. Three, that the permanent committee revise recommendation number three, read as follows. That eliminates the number three on page 802 and the permanent committee substituted this one. That the MSU committee be granted another year to prepare a revised version to the MUS policy manual and answer to that by this committee. Recommendation that the assembly approve revised recommendation number three with the following addition, and that a new MUS policy manual, including a training program for organizing pastors, be presented to all Presbytery MUS committee chairmen for their suggestion before the final draft is prepared, and that the permanent committee present the revised policy manual to the Seventh General Assembly. Grounds. A real need, and we discussed this at considerable length, a real need was felt by at least some of the organizing pastors for more training prior to their going on the field and intermittently. Four, that the permanent committee revise recommendation number four to read as follows, that the assembly adopt the following resolution, whereas the poor ethnic minority and urban population of the U.S. make up a vast mission field largely unreached by the PCA or by any other reformed denomination. And yet the words of our Lord, Luke 4:18-21, the Constitution of the Early Church, 1 Corinthians 1:26-29, James 2:5-7, and the history of missions all indicate that the poor, the neglected, and those of little account in a society are the particular objects of saving love. It is they above all, though not they exclusively, to whom the gospel is preached. In the light of these acts, we are convinced that we, a white, middle-class, and predominantly suburban denomination, can and must have a substantial and effective ministry to these whom we have not yet reached. If we ask God for it, he will give it to us through it. Therefore, be it resolved that the Assembly's NUS Committee shall appoint a subcommittee on urban, poor, and minority UPM ministries and shall establish a separate budget for these ministries and employ a director. Responsibilities of this committee shall include the following. A, to assist and supervise the UPM ministries and the PCA in cooperation with Presbytery NUS Committee. B, to acquaint the churches with these ministries, to promote them, and to raise prayer support and funding for them. C, to develop a comprehensive national strategy for planting churches and furthering the growth of God's kingdom among our UPM population. In order to accomplish this special task, the committee shall have representation from the MPW and CE committees and staff and from those actually involved in these ministries, and it shall receive an additional $7,500 from the Assembly to fund the necessary meetings and research. D, to encourage, assist, and train our churches in beginning outreach ministries to blacks, other minority groups, and the poor in and around their communities in order to initiate contact and confirm the PCA's interest in fulfilling the Great Commission in these sectors of society. E, study and report on the feasibility of a scholarship fund to assist minority Christians to attend PCA-related or approved higher institutes of learning in preparation for the ministry or other forms of Christian service. Scholarships shall be available on a college level, but especially on a seminary level. F, to study and report on the feasibility of a mini-training center's program, which would have as its purpose the equipping of minority Christians who have potential as leaders, pastors, teachers, counselors, in English, Bible, Reformed doctrine, homiletics, English grammar, and other subjects. G, report its progress quarterly to the MUS committee. Recommendation 73, that the assembly approve revised recommendation 4, substituting the following. 1, in paragraph C, delete all after ministers. That's on the next to the last line of C. 2, in paragraph E, on the first line, delete the feasibility of and substitute all ways to implement. And 3, E again, delete the last sentence beginning, scholarships shall be available on a college level. Grounds for these changes. The first one, concerning paragraph C, this presents details of the program which are still yet to be developed. It's a little premature. 2, on the change in, first change in E, feasibility is redundant. The motion needs to go further than that. And 3, regarding that last sentence beginning scholarship, that's unnecessary detail. Number 5, the permanent committee rescinds the supplemental report, which is on page 803 and 804, on campus ministry and revises the recommendation number 5, which is on page 802, to read as follows, that the 6th General Assembly grants the permanent MUS committee an extension of 1 year to carry out the desires of previous General Assemblies on campus work. Recommendation of your committee that the Assembly approve recommendation number 5 with this added, quote, and that the MSU committee appoint a subcommittee to prepare a practical manual for Presbyterian and Reformed College campus ministers, and that this committee includes strong representation from among those actually involved in this specialized ministry. Grounds for this recommended change to encourage the permanent committee to complete this work in this coming year. Number 6, recommendation that the assembly approve recommendation number 6, and I'm sure this should have been added to pass it on to the committee on administration, adding that the permanent committee on the MUS be commended for its exercise of reasonable stewardship in setting the 1979 budget based on a reasonable projection of income. Number 7, recommendation that the audit report be approved with the following addition, that the assembly approve the establishment and implementation by the permanent committee of policies which would reflect the criticisms and recommendation of the auditor as shown in his audit. Now, I read the 2 papers that have been prepared by the permanent committee, the next 4 pages, and then a recommendation with regard to these 4 pages at the end of the, after the 4 pages. First, consisting of 2 pages, the policy guidelines established by Michigan United States Committee PCA for loans to PCA congregations. 1, loans will be made only to organized congregations. Such congregations must be a member of a presbytery of the Presbyterian Church of America. 2, in instances where land only is to be purchased, then ordinarily the amount of the loan will be an amount which, when added to the amount raised by the applying congregation, will permit purchase of the land without the necessity of borrowing additional funds by the applying congregation. 2, in instances where the loan is to be used in connection with the building of a facility, of the acquiring of a facility that has already been constructed. When I'm married, the amount of the loan will be an amount which, when added to the amount raised by the congregation, will permit the applying congregation to have sufficient equity to borrow the needed funds from an outside lender to construct or acquire the contemplated facility. 4, all loans made will be unsecured and will be interest-free. 5, all loans will be represented by a promissory note commissioned to the United States Presbyterian Church in America and will be payable on demand. The borrowing congregation will be expected to furnish to the mission to the United States on annual basis the following. A, copy of the financial statement of the congregation, copy of the operating statement of the congregation for the preceding year, and C, copy of the budget for the next preceding year, together with a statement as to whether the congregation anticipates making any payments on the loan during the next succeeding year. It is understood that should the borrowing congregation be dissolved or voluntarily withdraw from the presbytery, which is a part of the PCA, that the Committee on the NUS-CCA will be expected to make demand that the outstanding balance on the note be paid. 6, loans will be made only to a congregation that is recognized as a legal entity under the laws of the state in which such applying congregation is located. Ordinarily, any loan application must be submitted to the presbytery in which the applying congregation is a member and forwarded to the mission to the U.S. PCA by the presbytery with its recommendation. 8, the mission to the U.S. PCA reserves the right to make an independent investigation of any application for a loan and to accept, reject, or delay action on any such application. In addition, the mission to the United States PCA reserves the right to reduce the amount requested by such applying congregation. 9, in the event funds have been contributed to the NUS-CCA by an individual church or presbytery or any other party, and the donor places restrictions or designations on the use of such funds so contributed, then, if such funds are accepted by the mission to the U.S., all such funds will be administered by the mission to the U.S. in accordance with the restrictions or designations placed thereon by the donor. Next, the application for the loan from the Committee of NUS of the PCA. Application hereby made on behalf of Blank Church, City, Blank County, Blank State, Blank, for an interest-free loan of so many dollars. It is understood that unless some agreement to the contrary is reached, that such loan is to be represented by a promissory note payable on demand and containing such other terms and conditions as may be deemed proper by the Committee on the NUS. The loan is needed on or before such a date, or if the loan shall not be made by that date, then a commitment by the Commission on the Mission to the U.S. to make such loan will be needed by such a date. It is understood that the Committee on Mission to the U.S. may issue a commitment to make a loan to the applying church subject to the applying church fulfilling certain requirements, and it is the desire of applicants to obtain such commitment subject to such conditions as the Committee on NUS thinks proper. Attached here too and made a part hereof is a statement furnishing the history of the applying church from its inception together with the latest financial statement, membership and attendance record, growth potential, building and land cost of area, and the reasons why the applying church feels that the loan starts should be approved by the committee. Applicant acknowledges the receipt of copy of the policy guidelines issued by the Committee on NUS and, to the extent necessary, the information showing compliance with such policies is included in the attachment here too. Applicant attaches to this application a certified copy of the resolution of the session of the applying church authorizing the submission of this application and authorizing the party signing this application to make this application for and on behalf of applicant. Applicant understands that in the event a loan to the applying church is approved by the Committee on NUS, that a congregational meeting of the applying church will be called
and that before the loan is actually made, such must be approved by the congregation of the applying church at a regular called congregation meeting. Applicants further understand that this application must be processed through the presbytery of which applicant is a member and will be forwarded to the committee on NES by such presbytery with such notation, recommendations or actions as may be taken thereon by such presbytery. Name of church signed by so-and-so. The presbytery of blank makes the following recommendation pertaining to the foregoing application of such church. Name of presbytery by signature state church. The permanent committee, page 813 now, on NUS presented the preceding policy guidelines and application for loans, past 4 pages, with the recommendation, 8, that the General Assembly approve the aforesaid application for loans and guidelines, 9, that the actual loans from the 5 and 5 campaign are to be handled through a loan committee consisting of one teaching elder and one ruling elder appointed by the NES committee and empowered to affect decisions regarding the loan, reporting these to the NES committee through the coordinator. 10, that the General Assembly gives a special commendation to Donald Graham for his magnificent work in directing the 5 and 5 campaign and urge the members of the General Assembly to give him all the future support and encouragement necessary to the success of this campaign. Now the recommendations on 8, 9, and 10 from the committee commissioners. 8, that the Assembly approve recommendation 8 as is. 9, that the Assembly approve recommendation 9 as revised below. Quote, loan application shall receive final approval by the NUS committee. A subcommittee of one teaching elder and one ruling elder shall be appointed to review the application, to make recommendations, and to implement the decision of the NUS committee. Now, the grounds for this change, this recommendation of the committee commissioners gives considerably less power to your two-man committee without rendering the approval of loans completely unwieldy. 10, that the Assembly approve recommendation 10 as is. 11, recommendation that the Assembly approve the guidelines and application of the loan with the following substitution for paragraph 5, sub 3 in the guidelines. First, a repayment schedule shall be agreed upon by the NUS committee and the borrowing congregation at the time the loan is executed. A copy of the congregation's budget shall be submitted annually. Any change in the repayment schedule must be approved by the NUS committee. The grounds for this change, unless this loan belongs to these churches, are outright gifts, the repayment expectation needed to be more specific. Recommendation number 12, that the NUS committee's anticipated move to Atlanta as per their minutes of April the 6th, 1978, close parenthesis, by August 1978 be approved. The committee felt that the General Assembly should be informed that this is in process. Now the overtures, Roman numeral 5. Overture 8, a request for clarification concerning approval of a man as the organizing pastor, answered with this recommendation by your committee. 1, that the presbytery has final approval of a man's qualification for any power within its boundaries. 2, that this in no way requires the denominational NUS committee to get any financial support for any man without the approval of said denominational committee. Overture 23. This is a request for division of Carolina Presbytery into Central Carolina Presbytery and Eastern Carolina Presbytery. Recommendation. Let the attendee answer in the affirmative. Overture 34. In regards to Tom Holmes and designated benevolent. Recommendation. That the assembly answer in the negative, with no implication regarding the worthiness of Palmer Holmes. Then, there is no precedent for such designated benevolence for an institution not owned by the Presbyterian Church in America. Overture 35, concerning the extension of specific presbytery. Recommendation. That the assembly answer in the affirmative. And then the role of the Committee of Commissioners on the Mission to the United States. Should I read this?
No, sir.
Now, should I go back to the recommendation?
No, I would go back to the recommendation. Mr. Chairman, before we do that.
Now, should I go back to the recommendation?
Now, I would go back to the recommendation. Mr. Chairman, before we do that, I want to share with you the moderator's understanding of what you're doing. And ask you please to concur or not to concur. Will the General Assembly please pay attention to this dialogue? It's my understanding that within the body of this report, there are revised recommendations from the Permanent Committee. There are references to existing recommendations of the Permanent Committee. And then there are recommendations of the Committee of Commissioners, correct?
That's right.
All right. Look at page 806, 806, and 802 at the same time. If commissioners will look at 806, 802, I want to ask the chairman of the committee if this is the moderator's if the moderator's understanding is correct.
That's correct.
On 806, there is under Roman numeral 4, and Arabic numeral 1, a revised recommendation 1 from the Permanent Committee, which would be a revision of recommendation 1 on page 802.
That's correct.
That's correct. Then the recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners follows the language of the revised committee's report, or report of the of the Permanent Committee as advised. Now, Roman numeral 4 and number 2 picks up the Permanent Committee's report from page 802 and adds one word. Arabic numeral 3 doesn't pick up recommendation 3. It rewrites Permanent Committee 3, and at the bottom of page 806, the Committee of Commissioners offers its recommendation in lieu thereof. Then, am I correct? Is the moderator correct? Is the way this thing proceeds?
Yes.
All right, now this is how we're going to proceed. We're going to proceed by taking the numbers, moving them, and discussing them and passing them without rereading this whole material. Microphone 13. Microphone 13.
I repeat that I may be a lost soul and not have followed closely enough, but we have a mimeograph page supposed to be circulated with the upgraded recommendations of the Permanent Committee. Has that been made available? Henry Hope, the Secretary of the Permanent Committee, is supposed to have had those available.
Does that page contradict in any fashion the language that this report contains on upgraded recommendations?
I can't see it.
Just a minute. Microphone 5.
Mr. Moderator, it does not contain any new language. We have a supplemental report B, but I'm told by the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners
that it is virtually exactly the same as that contained in the Committee of Commissioners.
All right, that's my point. I believe that the revised recommendations from the Permanent Committee are in here. Reference to existing recommendations of the Permanent Committee are in here, which would mean that you would have to have page 802 before you, and then recommendations from the Committee of Commissioners are in here. And you're going to have to keep those three distinct. Now, let's not have anyone from the floor saying, Mr. Moderator, wait a minute, I'm lost. We don't have time for that this morning. So, Mr. Chairman, we are going to go ahead step by step and recommendation by recommendation without rereading the text.
Mr. Moderator?
Yes, sir.
The only things that should be coming to us now would be the recommendations of the Committee of Commissioners, not
yes.
those earlier ones or even the revised ones, except as referred to by recommendations of the Committee of Commissioners.
All right. In other words, on page 806, your first comment will be where the word recommendation first appears, under 4-1, three lines below.
Number three.
Yeah,
that's
not
the
number
three
first,
but
dealing with
minute.
But when you get
oh, the minute,
minute
yeah.
But,
yeah.
Shouldn't I take
the
Roman numeral 3 first?
Oh, yes, but I mean,
when we get
to
number 4.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. Just for a minute, does any commissioner have any question at this point as to what we're doing? Then I presume that you understand. Microphone 7.
Vaughn Hathaway, Grace Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I have no question of what we're doing, but I believe that the content of the report of the Committee of Commissioners violates the instructions given to us by the City Clerk on Saturday regarding the composition of the report.
Mr. Moderator, I have spoken to the Chairman of the Committee of Commissioners and the Chairman of the Permanent Committee, and that's what produced and will bring this other sheet with all of the revised recommendations. And the way it will appear in the minute will be that that's a supplemental report of the Permanent Committee, and that we won't include all of these rewritings of the Permanent Committee. We'll just have the Committee of Commissioner recommendations as you adopt them in the minute. So it will appear in the same way, in the same format, when we put it together in the minute.
I see no one speaking the microphone. Mr. Chairman, you may proceed.
Go ahead. Mr. Moderator, we have that supplemental sheet, and it may clarify the situation. We're going to go ahead and have it handed out. It'd be fruitless not to hand it out. To hand it out later. It ought to be handed out right now if it's here.
Don't have it.
Henry Hope has it. They ought to be handed out. Then it can be clear what we're doing. Just that supplemental report B of the Permanent Committee.
I'm going to ask the chairman of the committee to proceed until we hit a snag. If we hit a snag because you don't have this, then we'll stop.
Right.
Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Roman numeral 3 at the top of page 806. First, the recommendation on the minutes of the permanent committee, and the recommendation is that the minutes of the permanent committee be approved with these exceptions. Do you want me to reread the exceptions?
We're not going to read the whole text unless it's requested. Have you had time to
move?
It's been moved. Number Roman numeral 3 out of numeral 1. Have you had time to look at it?
That's A, B, C, D, and E under Roman numeral 3.
I see no one speaking the microphone in respect to the first recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners, Roman numeral 3, Albert 1. Without objection, it is so ordered.
Roman numeral 4, recommendation in regard to all these committees. Recommendation that the Assembly approve the authorization of the NUS Committee to employ a coordinator with the proviso that he not begin work or move on the field until he is examined and approved by the General Assembly Theological Examining Committee. I so move.
Don't need a second. It's coming from the committee. I do not see anyone speaking a microphone.
microphone 11. Mr. Moderator, Jimmy Young from Central Florida, thank you, PA. I am opposed to allowing any committee or subcommittee to pick a man who will have such widespread influence on the thrust of NUS and our denomination. Some of us have vested interest in the man who takes that job. I being one of them, I am very concerned about the man who will occupy that position, and I don't feel like any of us will get to have a say if they allow this process to take place of determining a coordinator. And so I would ask the Assembly to not do this, and make this an assembly, at least involve some way, some of us, in that decision. Mr. Moderator, all of these appointments are only annual appointments. In other words, this is asking for the permission to do this between now and the next assembly. The assembly would then have the man, whether or not they want to vote on him or not. The precedent was set in the case of the Christian Education. When Paul Settle resigned just prior to the assembly, the Christian Education Permanent Committee had granted permission to hire someone in the interim, and then he was presented. Mr. Donahue has been reelected annually, but these are only annual appointments.
Yes, sir, but I understand that.
Just a minute, sir. No, we're not going to have discussion between you and the stated clerk. We're going to see if someone else wants to speak to the issue, and then you'll have a second opportunity to speak to the issue. And when? Microphone 9?
I would call for the question on the recommendation.
No, sir, I'm not going to recommend a call for the question. He does want to have a last word. He's standing on his head. You can get a thing. No, I just wasn't going to give the brother a chance to speak unless someone else wanted to say something. Since someone else does not, I'll let you speak a second time. I understand the precedent that has been set. I think it is a very dangerous precedent. It is awfully difficult after we have put a man on the job for 11 months to remove him from that job come next General Assembly. You want to call for the question last time? You bet. Terry Geiger gets a chance to see the Terry vote. Mr. Ray, do you have a question? He called for the question.
I did.
Is there a second call for the question? You want to cut off debate? If you want to cut off debate on this motion at this time, would you please say aye? Opposed, no.
No.
Debate is cut off. Mr. Guy, the chairman of the permanent committee, do you have something you want to say before we vote? Vice, do you have something you want to say?
I have been in touch with a number of the young men who are very concerned about the next permanent coordinator. I really appreciate some of the remarks made just recently. However, we on the state committee have held up a permanent recommendation to the assembly on a permanent coordinator in order to really exhaust the waterfront and really to find the man that we feel is God's choice for our assembly. I do not believe that we can go a full year on an interim basis. We have been a good long while on an interim basis already. And I would like to do this, maybe it's the privilege of the floor, as the chairman of the state committee, to ask any of the young men who are very concerned, and I don't blame them, to make any recommendations to our committee that you would like. And if any of you would give me your name, I would be happy to contact you and consult with you about the kind of person. I cannot violate the confidence of our committee, that I can talk with any of you about this. You don't want to do it in the dark, but I don't believe we can go another year. So I would urge the assembly to pass this recommendation.
He was speaking in lieu of and in the place of the chairman of the Committee on Commissioners, who yielded his privilege for that purpose. We're going to vote. Recommendation number one is before us. All in favor of recommendation number one as amended by the Committee of Commissioners, please raise your hand. All opposed, please raise your hand. Motion carries. Number two, Mr. Chairman. That this goes back now to 802, number two, and then to page 806, as moderator said, that recommendation number two on page 802 be approved with the word require, added at the end of the first line, and make that and request that a special offering be taken during the morning work study.
All right, so moved.
Motion is on recommendation number two.
Number 10, is that amendment? Number 10. Mike 10.
Bobby Allen, Evangel Presbytery. I move the substitute. I move the following new substitute for the Community Commissioner's recommendation number two. Move here. That a special day of prayer be set aside for Sunday, November 19, 1978. The recommendation be allowed to bear discretion to set aside a related day of fasting and request that the special offering be taken during the morning worship service to go toward the work and ministry of any else.
Does anybody know? Advance? It does. All right, so we don't have to refer back to number two. All you have to refer back to is the last sheet handed you. Okay, go ahead, number three. That the Assembly approved revised recommendation number three with the following addition, quote, and that a new NUS policy manual, including a training program for organizing pastors, be presented to all Presbyterian NUS committee chairmen for their suggestions before the final draft is prepared, and that the permanent committee present the revised policy manual to the 7th Assembly. So moved.
Mark 4:7. Mr. Moderator, Vaughn Hacker, a great presbytery. May I ask a question of the moderator? This is a recommendation to send the policy manual back to rewrite. If there are other areas to be involved in that, may I raise a question concerning that at this time?
You may speak to it most in any way you want to, this time.
In the, on page 801, relative to the builder's guide, it's part of the manual on page 130 of the 4th General Assembly. It says that the builder's guide of necessity has been phased into the 5 and 5 time plan. Since that is a part of the handbook, I wonder if that could not also be revised at the same time.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hacker, where you had a disturbance. If Dr. Moore in here, if Dan Moore said, would you assist before you describe that the brother said here?
Yes,
if you ask the question, please.
If the intent of the permanent committee to revise the manual completely, including that question.
That is a delicious question. I see no way to match further than vote on number three. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Number four, Mr. Chairman.
That the Assembly approved revised recommendation number four, substituting the following.
Yes, we're not going to read that whole thing.
One, two, and three.
I so move. I'll give you a minute to look at it. Revised number four, substitute the entire page. It has already been read. Not the page 12.
Moderator, kind of pretty. Yes, Mr. Textor. I'd like to move a change in the wording that the word predominantly be moved to appear before the word white and after the article A, so that it reads that
you have that written out? You have it written out?
Yes, sir.
Located for us.
It was recommendation 4, line 11, on page 807.
You want the word predominantly instead of the word white?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second to this? Has it been seconded?
It's not ordered. That's this year.
All right, you don't have to say much.
We have to learn to stop thinking as a right denomination.
Very lucky. I think that's all. Felicia, speaking of Martha Ford, we're going to vote on the amendment of the word predominantly. If you favor the addition of this word, then you say aye. Opposed, no. It is so ordered. You speaking of microphone 11 in respect to the main motion?
All right, sir.
T.J. Mercy from Cabinet Secretary. I move that we delete this entire thing because it seems to me that we're recognizing our
leadership. Just a motion and then I'll let you discuss it. You want to delete the entire recommendation, sir?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second to this motion? It is something. It is something.
organizing a little church within a church. And the direct violation of what we would find in James 2. I don't think there's going to be a minority heaven. Therefore, I see no real need for a minority committee to organize a minority church within our denomination.
Minority heaven.
Therefore, I see no real need for a minority committee to organize a minority church within our denomination.
I see no one calling. Yeah, all right. Microphone 10. Tim Campbell, Central Georgia Presbytery. I feel an obligation to speak to this since I was a member of the Committee of Commissioners on the NUS and was opposed to this inclusion of Section 4, Recommendation 4, for these reasons. I strongly favor a minority ministry in our church. In fact, I believe that every church and every presbytery should be involved in ministry to the minorities. We in Central Georgia Presbytery as well are endeavoring to do that. However, in the way that the NUS Permanent Committee is seeking to go about that, I disfavor it for the following reasons, briefly. One, everything that they desire to do can be done within our NUS Committee as it is currently structured, simply with a reorientation of our priorities. What I would like to see would be that more time would be given by our present coordinators in ministering and caring for these men who are working in minority situations, rather than hiring another coordinator to minister specifically and particularly to these specialists within our committee. Thank you.
Microphone 14. No, you get it in the committee chairman in a minute.
Mr. Moderator, Fred Morris, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I, too, was a member of the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the United States. I speak strongly against the motion to delete the recommendation and speak in favor of the committee's recommendation. I think the situation is precisely, at least the plea that has been given to us by people involved in these ministries, that the present staff cannot handle the work that is required. And they cannot handle it in two respects. First of all, with an anticipated workload of 25 organizing pastors in the predominantly white suburban middle class ministry, that is sufficient work in terms of workload for both a coordinator and an associate coordinator, along with the many other responsibilities that we as a denomination have given to them. Secondly, these ministries do require a high level of expertise. I live and I minister, attempt to minister in a changing neighborhood. The ministry is not the same. It's not a matter of having one church within another church, but a question of whether or not we have the expertise and the ability to minister in the specialized situation. I won't take the court's time to list to you the many details of aspects in which the ministry to a changing neighborhood or to a minority situation differs from the predominantly white middle-class situation. But it is very, very different. And I don't find that men who are gifted in dealing with our predominant situation necessarily have the advice or the direction necessary to help those of us who are in different situations. I think we need to develop that. Much of this ministry is carried out on a missionary basis. It is not the kind of work that becomes self-supporting easily. It's extremely difficult because these people don't have the finances required. So I think we need it in terms of the workload. We need it in terms of the whole strategy for the work in which it is done, and we need it because of the special requirements of this kind of ministry. Thank you.
Are you speaking in support or opposition? Microphone 11.
I'm speaking in opposition, perhaps.
Well, if you're speaking in opposition, let me see if there's anyone who wants to speak in support of the amendment.
Well, I'm speaking in support of the amendment.
Of the amendment.
Of the amendment.
He was speaking in opposition.
I'm speaking in support.
All right.
It would seem to Bill Russell, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. It would seem to me, sir, that we should be working with the majority instead of the minority.
It seems to me that Jesus Christ said to seek the lost. And it would seem to me that PCA should minister to the lost. That includes any ethnic, color, creed, or anything as far as I know. We are supposed to work with the lost, and I would like to see that we work with the lost of this world.
I'm going to recognize the chairman of the committee of commissioners.
Mr. Moderator, I don't know of anything in the world that we're falling on our face on in this particular thing, and I'm sorry that I forgot to recognize, according to my plan, the Reverend David Clowney to speak on this. Working in the inner city way in Atlanta. I would like to do two things after making one brief introductory remark. This report represents the unanimous consensus of those few of us in this denomination who are employed by the Missions of the United States as urban or inner city workers. I recognize that there are others in the denomination who in various ways are seeking, as our brother Fred Marsh just indicated, to do such work as well. But this is what we felt was needed in order to promote not a church within a church or anything of the sort, but rather to promote the growth of the PCA into urban, poor, and minority populations. The Lord says, "He who oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is kind to the needy honors him. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." We need to consider this ministry, and I'd like at this time to introduce someone to this assembly for a period of 2 minutes. Some of you have already heard him speak this morning, Reverend John Perkins from the Voice of Calvary Ministry in Jackson, Mississippi. My friend, my brother in the Lord, and in certain respects also, I should say, particularly with regard to this ministry, my father in the Lord, and just give him the opportunity to speak for us to this, this matter.
Brother Perkins, just a minute, you didn't mention his name. First of all, you didn't mention his name, did you?
Reverend John Perkins, yes.
It would have to be the will of the assembly to give Mr. Perkins the privilege of the floor. Tim, it's so moved, privilege of the floor. Second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Brother Perkins, we welcome you for the allotted time.
Well, I'm delighted to be here at this assembly, and based upon the contact with the people that I have met who's a part of this church, I have been impressed and especially grateful for the theological position that you have taken in America. I'm just praying that your sociological position be as effective as your theological position. I guess you realize in the eyes of the black community of America, and I was in Mississippi during the time when this church was being formulated in America, and it was very trying time for us as black people who were struggling down there, and we didn't have many church people, especially evangelical church people, on our side, who were concerned about the poor and the oppressed and trying to make justice a part of the biblical context. So most black people really was looking at and were believing that your church was a reaction to the movement of immigration and justice within American society.
And I think the very fact that probably not any black churches came out with you makes you understand that as a reality. So I really believe that based upon the needs that you have within the black community and the opportunity you have right now, and based upon the reform theology and tradition that this church needs to, for the sake of its own identity, to get involved in a creative way, not just in a normal way, but in a very creative way in trying to reach black America. And I do believe that we're in a time of low right now, but I think that what's happening on the scene, you're going to see in the next 5 or so years, probably riots and things in the black community like you've never seen before.
And I really believe that the church needs to be there this time. The church was not there before. But I really believe the body of Christ needs to be there. And I think that this could be the real emphasis that you ought to have right now. And to play this resolution and all of that down would really, I believe, to be to really prove what black people already believe about this group.
Thank you, Brother Kirk. I don't want to push the question, but the next speaker would be in opposition in support of the motion to delete if we are going to be fair in debate. I see no one. I spoke with the commissioners already to vote. And I'm going to put the question as to whether or not you are ready to vote. Are you ready to vote on the motion to delete recommendation 4? If you are ready to vote, then you say aye. You're not ready to vote, say no. We will vote on the deletion. Do you wish to delete recommendation 4? Say aye. You wish to retain recommendation 4? Say no. Recommendation 4 remains. Chairman number 5. No, we haven't adopted it yet. You're right. We've got to adopt recommendation 4 now that the motion to delete has been defeated. If anyone wishes to discuss this further, microphone 14.
Moderator, I wish to move an amendment.
Amendment
to the paragraph 4.
Paragraph 4, you mean D?
4E in particular.
E?
Right. I would like to amend line 2, the second word to meeting, vice minority, and I'll speak to that if I get a second.
Wait a minute, I didn't get that answer.
I'd like to amend the second word to meeting, vice minority.
Assist needy minority.
That's the word, vice minority. I want to strike the word minority and substitute the word needy.
All right, so you want to amend by substituting the word needy for the word minority on the second line of E, correct?
That's correct.
Second to that, with seconded, you may speak.
The reason I wish to amend this is that it's to offer, this amendment is offered so as not to preclude any non-minority urban force from such educational assistance if it becomes available.
Microphone 12. Well, down to us and Central Georgia Presbytery. I would like to publicly commend the Reverend Perkins for what he had to say to
Yes.
Brother, I really don't need an interruption, but you got to speak to the amendment, to delete. There may be another time when you can commend Brother Perkins, but right now you've got to speak to the amendment, to delete.
Well,
just hold on.
Okay.
Is anyone having microphone 7? Are you speaking to the amendment?
Yes, sir. I believe I would be speaking
to the amendment.
For the amendment.
For the amendment. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to ask a question, or maybe sort of a rhetorical question. I'm wondering if this is being put to a presbytery. I'm wondering if this matter here is limited only to the urban sphere and ethnic minorities and so forth. I happen to be a rural pastor. We have poor folks from Wilkinson County, Mississippi, too. Some of them are in the congregation that I serve. And I'm wondering if perhaps some of these might benefit. I'm wondering if I am supportive of this amendment that this would include everyone, but I wonder if the chairman of the committee might speak to that, if this is just a urban issue that we're dealing with.
Well, the chairman of the committee, if I might speak to that, I think that the question that's on the floor right now can be solved very quickly by an editorial change in the manuscript. There's a typographical error in it. It ought to read that the Assembly about the following resolution was the poor, comma, ethnic minority, comma, and urban population.
of the United States. This is not focused on only those who are both poor, minority, and urban, but on those who are poor and or minority and or urban. The entire community of need. We thought about putting rural in here, and did not because of thinking that actually there are a number of rural congregations in the PCA already, and that is more of a mainstream ministry in the PCA, whereas these others at the present time are not. But it's certainly not intended to single out only those who are the minority populations, live in the city, and are poor.
All right. And we're going to just deliver the law, a comment on the third line to the top of the page after the word minority. And get back to what we're discussing. After poor also, the poor, comma, ethnic minority, comma, and urban population. Now let's get back to the motion, which is the substitute. Is that what you want to talk about?
I'd like to ask a question first, because I'm from Central Georgia. Would you rule then that the amendment before is still in order to debate? Or is it?
Yes, sir. The debating amendment about the substitute in E.
Then I would speak against that amendment.
That's true.
I would not do it before.
If they use that, I hear you. I speak is that good. I would agree.
Fathers and brethren, we have in our denomination a scholarship fund. It was adopted at the 4th General Assembly in Greenville, South Carolina. It is administered by the Assistant Education and Publications Committee. I'll read the purpose statement. The PCA scholarship fund shall be established to provide financial assistance to needy students who are members of the denomination and are preparing for a church-related vocation within the PCA. There is a scholarship fund, particularly for our needy students who are going into this year. If you desire to expand that to cover needy in general, that would be the appropriate way to do it. It seems to me that the strength of this particular motion of MUA is to zero in on the especially needy, it's now been defined. And I would urge you to vote for this amendment and then adopt recommendation
of this denomination for 2 years, and without a doubt, I think some of us in the denomination want to pretend that the denomination is not predominantly white, and the thrust of this denomination is not predominantly white. Now, I think that there are many people who would like to pretend that. I remember in a statement that I made in the Atlanta Constitution in support of this denomination, they quoted me because I was the only black person there. They quoted me in saying that, no, this denomination didn't come out of the PCUS for social racial reasons, but we came out strictly for theological reasons. But sometimes I'm not too sure of that on the part of some of our members. And this is not trying to denigrate anyone, but it's trying to tell the truth as it is. I think that the PCA has to make a move, an active move, not just a verbal move, not just saying we'd like to have a few black people every once in a while, or we do hope that somebody will go out there in the inner city and do the work, but that there should be really an active, effective move on the part of the PCA to recruit black people to the denomination. I think a lot of us are satisfied by seeing just one or two black people in this denomination. But if you want to really affect black America, you have to actively recruit them. Everybody else is. I can remember when I was getting ready to start the seminary. There was a seminary in Atlanta by the name of Interdenominational Theological Thinking. And I could get in there with full scholarship, nothing to worry about whatsoever. But it was liberal in all its entirety. But for us, in a Reformed denomination, we have such truth to disseminate to people. And a lot of people don't believe that black people can understand or really interpret Reformed theology. Well, that's a miscalculation. I think we should recruit actively. I think we should support this total recommendation without any altercation whatsoever.
The plan is, no, that's all right, buddy. No. No, we don't want to do any applauding during the debate. The time is up as allotted. It is incumbent upon the moderator to ask the assembly if the assembly wishes to extend the time of debate on this motion by 10 minutes. Do you wish to extend the time of debate on this motion? If you do, will you say aye? If you don't, say no. Before we vote, the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners has said that he would yield his privilege of a final word to the chairman of the Permanent Committee.
I want to say that we in the Permanent Committee are already doing much of this, and we do have a problem. It is not a matter of black and white, it's a matter of red, white, black, brown. I grew up among the Navajo Indians. We're sending a missionary to the Navajo Indians. That's a specialized ministry. We do not expect that our new coordinator will be an expert in the field of Indian mission. We don't believe that he's going to be an expert in the field of Spanish-speaking missions. And we have more Spanish-speaking in Southern California than we have in Acapulco, Mexico. And the work in Acapulco, Mexico takes specialists. We need specialists to handle ethnic ministry. So we are talking about urban, yes, Newark, New Jersey, East Orange, Central Atlanta, but we're also talking about the Appalachian region, which has been historically a mission of the Southern Church. And we're talking about putting that into the hands of experts, or at least an expert, and a committee that can handle it in a way that our full committee cannot, in that we do not have time or the expertise to give the proper attention to it. And I would plead with you to accept that which this committee has come up with.
All right. We are voting on recommendation number 4, which is before you. If you support recommendation number 4, the whole page, will you please say aye? Opposed, no. Let's have number 5, Mr. Chairman.
That the Assembly approve revised recommendation number 5 with this added, a quote, and the NUS committee appoint a subcommittee to prepare a practical manual for Presbyterian and Reformed College campus ministry, and that this committee include strong representation.
Hold it. I believe, am I in the wrong place or are you in the wrong place? Number 5.
808-5.
My mistake. Thank you for your help.
And that this committee, you want me to read it over again?
Nope.
And that this committee includes strong representation from among those actually involved in this specialized ministry. The reason for this change is just to encourage the permanent committee to complete this work in this coming year.
I see no one seeking the microphone. Without objection, it is adopted.
Number six, that the Assembly approve recommendation number six, adding, quote, and that the permanent committee on the MUS be commended for the exercise of responsible stewardship in setting the 1979 budget based on a reasonable projection of income. And I'd like to add, it's assumed that this is would be passed on to Business Administration for final hearing.
I see no one speaking the microphone without objection. Oh, microphone 14.
Fathers and brethren, I'm Bill Iverson from up in New Jersey. Are we looking at the budget now to know what that really says? I want to make sure before we pass on, because I've looked at that budget. Are we going to vote on approving of the budget that's not been read? Please clarify that. What are we doing?
We're not approving the budget.
But it will be approved later. Is that true? So what are we actually doing? This is very important. In other words, I would like to bring to the attention of the Assembly what the present budget is before everybody's flying out of here on Friday, and what it reflects about the mission of the church. And I want to be in order, Mr. Moderator.
Well, Bill, you can be in order when the budget comes up. At this point, the budget is not before us.
But we're voting to recommend this. We're voting to recommend the budget that's in there. Is that right?
We are voting to commend the committee for the work they did on the budget. Now, the budget itself is not here yet.
It is before us? All right, thank you, sir.
It's coming. It's coming, and when it comes, I'll call you back. Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, a point of order there. The recommendation 6 would incorporate recommendation 6 of the permanent committee, which, of course, does read that the budget for 1979 for the mission of the United States Committee be adopted as presented. So I believe it's our normal action to defer approval of the budget until such time as the committee administration report is made.
I apologize to the commissioner from New Jersey. Come on back, Mike.
Bill.
Well, the recommendation says that the budget be adopted as presented with the following language, and that's so on. So,
But we our normal practice is to...
Just a minute.
...state the clerk, please, defer and wait until the Committee on Administration brings in the budget, and then they're all done together. In other words, we postpone action on this particular one.
We're postponing action, but the commissioner is correct that we are stating that we are adopting the budget. So you may speak, sir.
But you don't act on it at this time.
No, we're not acting on it.
We're postponing action on this whole recommendation.
Well, nobody's moved to defer the whole recommendation.
I move that we, if I might, that we defer this item until the order of the day on Thursday, I believe.
Okay.
Then bring it into order.
All right. You want to defer recommendation 6 until we are ready to pick up the budget?
That's the right
motion. And it's been seconded.
Thank you.
You want to speak to deferral, or have you said enough? All right. Really, this is almost automatic. All in favor of deferring action on 6, say aye. Opposed, no. Number 7, Mr. Chairman.
That the audit report be approved with the following addition. That the Assembly approve the establishment and implementation by the Permanent Committee of Policies, which would reflect the criticism and recommendation of the auditor as shown in his audit.
I see no one taking the microphone without objection. It is done.
And now, page 813. Number 8, that the Assembly approved Recommendation 8 as is.
Microphone 5. Stan Moore, Central Georgia Secretary. I would like to move an amendment, sir.
All right.
I would like to move that on page 809, paragraph 5, be amended by deleting the word "and will be payable on demand." If I could have a second, I'd like to speak to that, sir.
Wait a minute.
Page 809, the policy guidelines, paragraph
5. Point of correction. Recommendation 11 has to do with the guidelines and application of the law. It may be more appropriate to make this change under number 11.
I misunderstood.
Will
the commission accept that?
Yes, sir. If we can discuss it under 11.
It can be done under 11. All right. Back to number 8, which is also the revised number 8. Microphone 15. Mr. Moderator, Alan Story, Warrior Presbytery. I was on the committee of commissioners of NUS. I think that probably what we intended, and if this can be editorially amended, when we recommended the adoption of number 8 as is, that we were not exactly meaning to adopt the guidelines twice, that number 11 handles that, and that probably what we mean, and I feel certain that this is the intention of our committee, that the General Assembly approved the aforesaid application for loans,
yes,
and that then we dealt with guidelines in number 11.
You're correct, sir. There's nothing in Recommendation 8 about guidelines.
Are you ready for a vote on Recommendation 8?
Mr. Moderator, I think the confusion arises out of the fact he's looking at the top of the page, number 8. The number 8 that actually is being referred to is page 816, number 8.
That single sheet supplemental report with the revised recommendations of the permanent committee, number 8, is the one we're voting on. All in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. I will not accept that vote. All in favor, please hold up your hand. Opposed, please hold up your hand. That passes. Microphone 14.
Mr. Moderator, I'm Arthur Rogers, Covenant Secretary of Reading Elder. For clarification, please, item number 8, 816, has to do with the composition of the committee, the loan committee, composed of one teaching elder and one reading elder. Is that correct?